Okay, Boker Tov to everyone. L'chol ha'mazinim. So first, we wish a mazel tov to Edna Peiser's grandson, competes tomorrow in the Chidon HaTanach in Israel. So we wish him a great hatzlacha.
Danny Peiser.
And wish him hatzlacha. And whatever happens, he's a winner in our eyes. So please tell him that. Okay, we read this week. Morning. The Sedra of Bahar. Bahar again, because it's a leap year. Separated from its normal twin, Bichukasai. So we get to look at both. So there are a number of areas that are covered in the Sedra. It starts with a long discussion of the laws of Shemitah, the Shemitah year, and Yovel. And then interspersed is this. Look at the pasuk right on top. V'chisim kerumim kail amisecha, o kano miyad amisecha, al tonu ish es ochiv. If you buy something from your friend, or I'm sorry, if you sell something to your friend, or buy something from your friend, al tonu, you should not wrong someone, mistreat that person. In context, it's talking about the laws of onas mamon, which is essentially a limitation on profits. You can't gouge someone, can't try to extort more money out of them. This halacha of onas mamon also has a parallel later in the Sedra, where the Torah says, "Velo sonu ish es amiso," you should not wrong your friend. "V'yareisam elokecha," you should fear God. "Ki ani Hashem elokechem," because I am the Lord your God. You have those two types of onah. Onas dvarim and onas mamon. And the Gemara says, kishem she onah b'mikachu memkar, kach onah b'dvarim. Just like you could wrong someone, cheat someone, offend someone monetarily, so too verbally. And if we might think, well, if you do it financially, monetarily, you're taking something of substance from them, whereas onas dvarim is not like that. So one who maintained that would be wrong, because onas dvarim, some will hold, is even greater than onas mamon, because when you wrong someone verbally, you are robbing them of their self-respect, of their dignity, and that's a lot more difficult to restore than is money. If you've overcharged someone, you could refund it to them. Onas dvarim is worse. The Gemara has a number of cases of onas dvarim, it's Gemara b'Metzia, daf nun ches. Things that we're familiar with, as the Mishnah there says, a person can't walk into a store and ask how much something costs if he has no intention of buying it. Or if you're price shopping, it's one thing, because then there's a possibility of buying it. But if there's no possibility you're going to buy it there, then it's we're told it's to be ignored. The people listening on the tape, they should be afraid. But we're good here. So you can't walk into a store, take up a salesman's time, and not have any interest in the product. By the way, there's a modern application of that, because people do price shop. But if you think about it, a lot of people buy things now on the internet, online. But they'll go to a store in order to check out the product. All right. So if you bother the salesman to show you a variety of products with no intention of buying in the store, because you're going to buy it online for less money, that would already be because it's not dignified. Of course, the difference also if the salesman's on commission or not, if he's on salary, it's less of a problem unless there are other customers there that you're taking him away from. But if he's on commission, then you're really wasting his time because he could be doing something else. Or onas dvarim, a person is not allowed to say to a bal tshuva, Zchor masecha harishonim. Remember your earlier deeds. You know, tell me, how did a cheeseburger taste? Do you miss it? That type of thing you can't say to a bal tshuva. So too to a ger. Imu ben gerim, if a person is a convert or the descendant of converts, lo yomer lo zchor masecha vosecha. Remember what your fathers did. You know, remember what you did. How was, Easter? Do you miss ham at the Easter dinner, etc.? Those things you can't say. That is onas dvarim. And onas dvarim, so the Chazal say, godol onas dvarim yosem onas mamam. Like I alluded to before, onas dvarim is worse than onas mamam for the reasons aforementioned. So the Medrash here begins with a discussion of onas dvarim in its broader context of watching what we say, Shmiras HaLashon. Number one, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe, and it goes through all the psukim. It's an ellipsis. V'chisim kru mimkar l'amisecha, lo sonu, or al tonu, then lo sonu, hado d'chsiv. So this notion of lo sonu ishas hamisecha, onas dvarim, is what the pasuk in Mishlei refers to. Moves v'chayim biyad lashon. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue, meaning the tongue controls both life and death. As follows, Targum Akilas. Akilas was a ger, was a convert who wrote it was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, lived in the time before the rebellion of Bar Kokhba. Akilas wrote a translation of the Torah into Greek. All right, there is an opinion that it's the same as Unculus, but most disagree. Unculus wrote in Aramaic, Akilas wrote in Greek. Akilas said as follows, Mitztira Mochirin. Let's say you have a scale. Scale's a flat beam, all right? That has cups on either side. Balance scale. Okay? And so the flat beam is similar to a tongue. A tongue is long and flat. Moves mikan v'chai mikan. So he said, look at the tongue as a scale. In fact, look at the scale as a tongue that you have on one side chayim, the other side moves. And if it's used for proper reasons, it's chayim. Used for wrong reasons, then it's maves. That's Akilas Hager wrote. Barsira Omar. Barsira, so this was a Medrash Ben Sira. Ben Sira wrote a Mishle-like work, all right? The Proverbs of Ben Sira that was not put into the canon of Tanakh. He was after the Tanakh was finalized, but Chazal saw a number of problems with what he had to say. Notwithstanding that he had some good insights as well, this being one of them. Bar Sira Amar, Hoysa Lafanav Gacheles, V'nofach Bo, Uvara, Rokach Bo, V'chavos. Let's say a person has a fiery coal in front of him. If he blows on it, he fans it, then it's going to ignite. Rakak ba, if he spits on it, v'chavas, it'll be extinguished. So too, the lashon, the tongue. If a person fans the flames with his tongue, then that person is causing a conflagration. If a person uses the tongue for rakika, for spitting, meaning something cool and moist and something that is going to quiet tensions, then v'chavas he extinguishes. What's the difference between Akilas Hager and Ben Sira in their approaches? Akilas said that it's like a scale. It goes either way. Whereas Ben Sira said, no, it's like a coal, a fiery coal that can either be ignited or extinguished. What's the difference in the two? Scale can go back. Oh, that's very good. The scale can go back to the way it was if you just rebalance and recalibrate. Whereas the other one can. Once the coals are ignited, it's much more difficult to extinguish them. That's actually better than what I had in mind. Thank you. I think what Akilas meant is that he saw the tongue as neutral. Neutral, inherently neutral, meaning it could be pulled one way or the other. Chaim v'mavas. Whereas Ben Sira said it's not neutral, it's dangerous. The tongue is always dangerous, like a fiery coal. And the question is, how will you be able to handle that danger? Will you stoke the flames, or will you control it? And who's closer to the truth? There's an element of both, because the tongue is very often neutral. But I think Ben Sira has the more telling imagery, because most of the time we get into trouble. Well, let's put it like this: when the temptation exists to use the tongue, that's probably the danger zone. And so, more often, the tongue is probably the organ of the body that lends itself to sin more than any other. And that's why, as Ben Sira noted, it's a dangerous, dangerous organ, and therefore has to be controlled. Even more, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Hayo Kikar Tovul Acholo Achol Isro Moves. So let's say you had a loaf of bread that's tevel. Tevel is something from which meiser and trumas were not yet taken. So atchelo isero moves biyad lashon. Before you eat it, so before you take a meiser rather, then it'll be death if you eat it. Put it in your tongue. But isero, once you take meiser vacholo, then eat it, tzchaim biyad lashon. Then it's considered to be life, something that gives life. See, here you see what Rabbiana is adding to the mix is the element of control. The first two spoke about the inherent danger of the organ itself. Rabbiana places the onus on the speaker. It's not the tongue. It's the person who controls the tongue who is responsible. All right, one would think that's obvious, but it really isn't. Again, the temptation is always to talk. We are almost programmed to talk constantly, to be a talking being. Where do we get that from? Adam Arishon. The Torah says that God blew into Adam, Ruach Chaim, Nishmas Chaim, Ruach Memalo. Chaim, life, means the ability to speak, Ruach Memalo. Person can't speak. It's really a deprivation of the primary means of communications. He's less human in that sense. The ultimate control was Rabbi Yannai. You know, if I remember correctly, I think it was Rabbi Yannai in the story in the Gemara who cries out, Man Boi Chaye, Man Boi Chaye. Who wants to live? Who wants to live? And they all gathered around him, and he quoted the Pasuk, the famous Pasuk, You want to live? Control your tongue. So he actually doesn't look at the tongue as the chefta that's the problem, but the human being control of the tongue. Okay, we skip one area and go to Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. Omer Rab Shimon Gamliel Tavi Avde. Rab Shimon Gamliel had a servant. Some says Rab Gamliel, but had a servant named Tavi. Tavi was not Jewish, but he was a big Talmid Chacham. So Rabbi Shimon said to Tavi, his servant, Puk zveinli tzedu tova min shuka. Go out and buy me a nice piece of meat, good piece of meat, from the marketplace. Nifak zvanle lishon. He came back with a tongue that we eat. Amarle, another time he said to him, Puk zveinli tzedu bisha min shuka. Go out and find me bad meat from the market. Nifak, he went out. Zvan le lishon, he came back with the same thing, tongue as well. Amar le, Rabban Shimon said to him, Mahu, dein dechad ano. He said, what are you doing? It's the same thing that you're bringing me. Amar le, Amar loch, tseidu tava ad zoven li. I'm sorry, this is continuing Rabban Shimon. Tseidu tava ad zoven li lishon, vichad ano. Let me read it properly. Maudain, dechad ana omar loch tzedu tavo ad zoven elishon. When I told you to buy me good meat, you brought back a tongue. Vichad ana omar loch tzedu bisha. When I told you to bring me back bad meat, ad zoven elishon. You also brought me back tongue. Omar le, yes, that indeed is so. Mine tavta umine bishta. Good comes from it, and bad comes from it. Karhava tovle, tovmine. Vichad bishle, bishmine. When it's good, there's nothing better. And when it's bad, there's nothing worse. Isn't that the reality? The tongue can do so many good things. Tefillah, Torah, even the verbal chesed. The tongue can do so many things that are good, that represent the epitome of the human being, the highest level of the human being. And conversely, the tongue can operate in such a way that it's completely destructive and represent the worst, most vile, most vulgar, most despicable elements of the human being as well. All that under the general category of lo sanu ish amiso, v'reisa me'elokecha, fear God. And I should add that fear God is because since the tongue is such an equivocal organ, it lends itself to, doesn't always lend itself to such a stark dichotomy that a person can actually say something that's positive on the surface, but has a negative connotation to it. We call avak lashon hara, speaking in such a way that you say something that if you just read the transcript, it sounds proper, even complementary. But if you know the motivation or can hear the inflection, you know it's not meant that way. That's avak lashon hara. The classic case we know is a person who starts praising to another the other person's enemy. Because all that's going to happen, he's going to say, yeah, you really think so? Let me tell you something. And that's just generating lashon hara. So it's also to say even compliments to someone, even generally, if you know that's going to evoke from others that type of hostility. Okay, next, number two. Hadal d'chsev, we're still continuing the pasuk, lo sanu ish es amiso. And here you have an interesting case of criticism. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, kein chanu l'diglehem. It's a parasha we'll read in a few weeks, parashas Bamidbar. There Moshe goes through the entire there's a census, then there's the division of the tribes, each according to their own banner. V'aron heichan hoya, where is Aaron here? Why would we want to know where Aaron was? Because that parsha begins, V'yedaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron le'mor, ish al diglo be'osos l'veisav osam yachanu b'nei Yisrael. God said to Moshe and to Aaron that each person should dwell under the banner of his father's house. That's the encampment of the Jewish people. That's how the parsha began. But it ends, Kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. What happened to Aaron? Aaron, the Aaron Hechon Oya. What happened to him? So the Medrash says, Rabbi Yeshua bar Nechemia, Rabbi Levi bar Chayasa, Rabbi Abba v'shem Rabbi Chia bar Abba, they all said as follows. Kevon Shaboli Yachason Honu Oso. When Aaron came, what did it mean? What were they doing? They were trying to attach each person, each child, to the father's house. When Aaron started doing that, Honu Oso, they began to torment him verbally and said to him, who are you to tell us what to do? Or what are Yichuses? Amrulo, Atme Yachasenu? You're the one who's going to attribute the Yichus of each person? Go worry about your own children's yichus. Elazar bincha lemihu nasui. Who did your son Elazar marry? Lelavito shalputiel. Did he not marry the daughter of an idolater? Who's this? Yisro. He married the daughter of Yisro. Yisro was Kohen Midjan, right? They only, even Moshe, so Yisro was a very popular individual until he renounced Avodah Zarah. Then he lost his job. That's when he had to send his daughters out. Lost everything. Had to send his daughters out to the well at which Moshe found Zipporah. So Elazar married one of Yisro's daughters, some say granddaughter. But in any event, they're saying to Aaron HaKohen, who are you to tell us what our yichus is? Worry about your own yichus. What kind of argument is that? Yes?
Very minor question, but why does it say ah?
What's that?
Why does it say ah?
Aramaic. Yeah. Yeah. So it's used interchangeably when they're switching from Aramaic and to Hebrew and back. Okay, so what kind of argument is this? Well, you see that even though Aaron, it's interesting because the way we always look at it, it's that Aaron HaKohen, he was the one everybody liked. Oyv Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oyv Asabrius, Makarvan LaTorah. They liked him. They liked him. How do they attack him like this in such a personal way? Well, criticism of Gedolim often takes personal form, and especially when especially when a person is in a position of authority. Now, Aaron was subordinate to Moshe. He wasn't the one who was telling people what to do, but nonetheless, he was in the chain of Mesorah as well. So they felt, even though they loved Aaron, they even mourned when he died in a way that they didn't for Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody mourned Aaron's death. Nonetheless, you see from the Medrash at least, the notion that there is this undercurrent of hostility to anyone that exists in a position of power. But what are they saying to him? What are they saying to him? See, what's the issue here? The issue was the ascription of yichus. Yichus is a very volatile concept in Jewish life. All right? Have you ever met anyone who boasted about their yichus? Happens to me constantly.
Yes.
What's that? Oh, you. Don't say that so fast. You have your own qualities. I'm always reminded of something that Disraeli said in the parliament. He was being harassed because of his Jewish origins by someone who was a lord, a peerage for centuries already. And Disraeli said to him, "Yes, but the good news is my distinguished pedigree begins with me. Yours ends with you." He always had a way with words. But the fact is, of course I don't mean you, Yichus is very often the refuge of the unaccomplished because they only point to the past. They can't point to the present or the future. But nonetheless, to be in the Beis Avosam, to be ascribed to a particular tribe and father, that's what he was doing. So, what happened? How do we overcome that? Hadao dechsiv ve'elozor ben Aaron lokachlo mios putiel kevan shor kadosh baruch hu she mezalzelin bo. Since God saw that they were mezalzel, they were depreciating Aaron, hischil miyachaso. So then God decided to mention Aaron's complete yichus. And Elazar's complete yichus, by the way. Notice that they attributed Elazar's choice of spouse to Aaron, all right? Not that he did anything wrong, but Elazar did. And not even that Elazar did anything wrong, because he married before Matan Torah. Everybody was an idolat before Matan Torah. Hador dechsiv Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. The fact that the genealogy here of Pinchas is traced to his father Elazar, and then Elazar to Aaron HaKohen, meant that both Elazar and Aaron are in good standing. Who are we talking about? Kohen bar Kohen, that Elazar, Aaron, Pinchas, they're all Kohanim, all Kohanim. Kanoi bar Kanoi, they're Zealots, the son of Zealots, meaning Ben Levi. So they're involved in Kaporo, the job of a Kohen, they're involved in saving Jewish life, avenging the honor, like Levi did with his sister Dina. Meshiv Chema ben Meshiv Chema. They're the ones who assuage, so to speak, God, quell God's anger, so to speak. Each of them, Aaron did it with the Machta after the sin of Korach, and Pinchas did it, of course, when Zimri and Cosby sinned. Shenemar Heshivis Chamasi Lochein Emor. And this is the next pasuk after that parsha. When God starts counting the genealogy of Levi, comes to Aaron and Moshe, Aaron is mentioned first. Moshe v'Aaron ain't ksiv kan, el Aaron and Moshe, l'fichach Moshe mazir es Yisrael, v'chi sim karu mimkar. Meaning lotonu. That's the pasuk we're referring to. What's the pshat? So if we want to be able to guard our tongues, one thing that we have to do is look at people as they are and not try to bring in outside references to yichus especially. I always tell young couples when I meet them before they marry that one of the things that married couples have to learn is how to fight. And one of the roads not to travel down is to bring in other family members as part of the fight. "You remind me of your mother, I can't take it anymore. You're so much like your father, I didn't marry your father," etc. Those things are really fuel to the flame, because even if they solve the instant problem, nonetheless, the hurt that they absorb, that they internalize, because their parent or sibling, etc., were insulted, that doesn't go away as quickly. So that's also part of Onas Devarim. If a person has an issue, then deal with the issue and not to personalize it. Here, for whatever reason, it's hard to say, they resented this notion of Aaron being involved in the Yichus. Strange, because why Aaron? I mean, Moshe also married the daughter of Yisrael. I guess they didn't want to start up with him then, but that's also part of Onas Dvarim. That's the broader picture here. Onas Dvarim is not only what you say to the person about the person, but what you can say to the person about others as well. Okay. Now, there's another area, very interesting, very important. There are many others in the Sedra, but it's number three. V'chiyamuch achicha umato yado imach v'chazakta bo ger v'soshav v'chai imach. That if your brother is brought low and his hand stumbles, he falters, so v'chazakta bo, you have to strengthen a Jew who's falling, who's faltering. What's ger v'soshav, whether he's a stranger or a resident, and he has to live with you. He has to be with you. I mean, you're responsible for his life and his well-being as well. V'chiyamuch achicha. So now he starts darshaning this pasuk. All right. V'chiyamuch achicha. When your brother is brought low. Hadao d'chsiv, the pasuk in Tehillim. Ashrei maskil el dal. B'yom ra'ah yimalateu Hashem. Fortunate is the one who deals intelligently with the dal. The dal here means the impoverished. B'yom ra'ah yimalateu Hashem. On the day of evil, God will rescue him. So we have to deal with the poor in an intelligent, sophisticated way. Now first, the Medrash digresses, as is its wont, into a number of different areas involving our understanding, the various understandings we have of dal. Who or what is a dal, an impoverished person? Abba bar Yirmiya b'shem Remer amar, zeshem mamlich yetzer tov v'yetzer hara. It's a person who is able to crown the yetzer tov over the yetzer hara. Who's the dal, the impoverished one? The impoverished one is the yetzer tov. In Koheles, Shlomo describes the yetzer tov as the ish miskein, the unfortunate one. Because the Yetzer Tov is always, you know, always struggling to be heard, to become primary in our lives. The Yetzer Hara has a head start, right? The Yetzer Hara comes with us at birth, accompanies us through the birth canal, and the Yetzer Tov is only really awakened in a person at the age of bar or bas mitzvah. So the Yetzer Hara has a running head start, years, over a decade, and it's hard for the Yetzer Tov to be... heard, to make it known. So what does it mean? Shemamuch Yetzer Tov Yetzer Hara has to be a conscious effort. That the Ashrei Maskil El Dal, a person who's a maskil, here it's a positive word, maskil means someone who's intelligent. If you use intelligence, you know how to subdue the Yetzer Tov, and Yetzer Hara rather, and activate the Yetzer Tov. That's the dal here. So Biyom Ra'ah, on the day of evil, meaning when opportunity for sin, when temptation presents, Yimalateu Hashem. If you know how to handle this struggle of the Yetzer Tov Yetzer Ra, meaning you're in control, then you'll succeed. Isi Amar Zeshinosim Pruta La'oni. So this is really contextual. Isi said, it's a person who gives money to a poor person. That's Maskil El Dal. We'll get back to that because that's most of the Midrashim here. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zeshekover Meis Mitzvah. Who's Maskil El Dal? It's the person who buries a Meis Mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah, someone dies, no one has no heirs to bury him, or it's not known who he has to bury him, and they take it upon themselves to bury him. What's the pshat Maskil El Dal? So Meis Mitzvah is really the greatest Chesed Shel Emes that we have. So granted, any time we're Misasek B'Meis, it's Chesed Shel Emes. Except for this point, that a Meis Mitzvah is true chesed because there's no possibility of reciprocity, all right? Even though we say generally, Hisaskus b'meis is chesed shel emes, that Yaakov said to Yosef, do this chesed b'emes for you, al nosik ren Mitzrayim, because there's no reciprocity, the Meis can't do anything for us, but nonetheless others will. But here, Meis Mitzvah is nothing. Nobody could help out. There's no reciprocity at all. And yet, that's Chesed Shel Emes. That's Maskil El Dal. Rabbanan Amri, Zeshem Avriach Atzman Amalchus. Rabbanan say, Maskil El Dal is the person who visits the sick. He visits the sick. Why? I'm sorry. That's the next one. Shem Avriach Atzman Amalchus. He avoids assuming a governmental position. Doesn't work for the government. Why? See, here, of course, we're talking about an evil, despotic government, like Rome was. Mavriach is another word for mavriach. Mavriach means to smuggle. right? So the Romans, one of the tools they used on all the subjects was oppressive taxation. Not that we're unfamiliar with it here in Teaneck, but nonetheless, that was a hallmark of the Roman government. So a person then who went to work for the government, so he would necessarily become a tool of oppression of that government against his fellow Jews. So be maskil al dal. Who's the dal here? The dal is Klal Yisrael. Don't be an instrument by which others will persecute Jews. Don't let them use you. Rav Hun amar zeshe mevaker sachola. Maskil al dal is a person who visits the sick. The dal here being the chola, the person who is ill. Omer Rav Huna, komish mevaker sachola pochas in lo echad mishisha micholyo. Person visits the sick, takes away 1/60th of his illness. Okay? So all brought down in the Gemara in the Darm Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. What does it mean to take away 1/60th of the illness? Because Eisevei L'Rav Huna, they then ask Rav Huna, good question. Im Kain, if that's the case, Yalu Shishim V'Yeridi Mahem Lashuk. You should then have 60 people visit a chol at one time. He'll get up and go to the mall with them. Right? Why not? Amar Lahem, so what does it mean then Echad B'Shishim? Pochas in lo Echad B'Shishim. Amar Lahem, Shishim, Uvovad Shi'ovin Oso Kenafsho. Yes, 60 people, but 60 people who love him as they do themselves, meaning Avas Nefesh, David and Yehonason, Afa Pichei Marvichon Lo, even though even if 60 strangers or acquaintances come, nonetheless, there's some relief for the chola, but they're not taking away his illness. But if 60 people, all of them kenafshom, came, then how does that work? How does the calculation work? First of all, no one has that many. It can't happen. But if it did, it means that a person sees a circle of those who identify so closely with him that his illness becomes their illness. And that itself relieves some of the burdens of the chola. What every chola does not like to be left alone, or feels alone, I should say. They feel alone because there's no one else who has the suffering that they have. So as much as you can empathize, there's still an aspect of loneliness. The loneliness is not always assuaged by visits to the hospital. It helps, but it's not the same. Because at the end of the day, you leave and they stay. So they still feel that loneliness. But nonetheless, there's a revocha, there's a sense of relief that comes to the chola when he sees that people care about him. And that's the 1/60th. If they're all of him kanafsham, then it's different, because there's such a close identification that then he's able to almost jump out of his illness and join them, because he's like them, they are like him. And that's a greater relief, but that's much more difficult to overcome. So there's a very famous story, interesting story, that I heard years ago about Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner was ill towards the end of his life, and a Talmud called, wanted a visit, and he said to the Talmud, thank you for calling, there's no need to visit. And that was the end of the conversation. And someone was with him at the time and said, why don't you let him visit? So Rav Huttner said, he wanted to shake me like a lulav, that's why. He said, what do you mean? He said, he saw me as a chefta shel mitzvah, that I'm a chola, so he'll visit me, he'll get a mitzvah visiting a chola. That's not why you visit a chola, because he's a chefta shel mitzvah. It has to come from the person. That's ohev and oso kenafsho. If you ohev kenafsho, it's not that you're doing it to fulfill the mitzvah of bikur cholim. That mitzvah exists. Notice, the context here is not the mitzvah of bikur cholim. The context is ashrei maskil el dol. If you're visiting someone because ohev and kenafsho, then that's different, because then the person will really feel that sense of relief. I should mention one other point before we get to the last one. And that is on the first, Mamluch Yetzer Tov Yetzer Hara. The Belzer Rebbe said, he has in the Medrash HaMavuar, that it means that we are allowed to use the Yetzer Hara for positive purposes. That's what it means. Yetzer Hara is our instinctual drives, and usually they impel us to sin, but occasionally they can impel us towards the Yetzer HaTov and even strengthen the Yetzer HaTov. All right? What are the obvious examples? So la'olam yasak adam b'tar afir shalolishma. Shemitach shalolishma b'olishma. We're allowed to use lolishma, ulterior reasons, to learn Torah. Are we doing it for money because a child gets candy out of it, etc.? We're allowed to do that because then we're accessing the Yetzirah, getting some type of physical pleasure, but the objective, the goal, is a greater one. You have that with Midos also. For example, Kinah is classic. Kinah so from Tar B'Chochma, the Belzer Rebbe said. The jealousy of scholars increases wisdom. You're allowed to be jealous of someone's greatness in Torah, or greatness in spirituality, or tefillah, or mitzvah. You're allowed to say, this person does this mitzvah so well, I wish I could do that. Yeah, it's jealousy. That's a good type of jealousy. It all stems from the Yetzer Hara in a sense, but that's what it means, mamlich Yetzer Tova Yetzer Hara. If you take that framework of the Yetzer Hara and use its qualities as motivation to do good, then you're really mamlich the Yetzer HaTov, meaning the Yetzer Hara is what's anointing the Yetzer HaTov. And that itself is a good place to be in. Okay. All right. Let's turn the page. We'll get back to fourth a little later on. Next. Number five. Davar Acher. V'chi Yamuch Achicha Hadao Dechsiv Gomel Nafsho Ish Chased. The person of kindness is the one who's Gomel Nafsho, rewards himself or does good for himself. How's that? Very interesting medrash. Famous one. Gemara quotes it also in Shabbos in a related form. Who's the Ish Chased here? Zehil Azokain. Shebeshosho Yeniftar Mitalmidov. When Hillel would finish the shir, he'd leave his Talmidim. They would leave, they would accompany him, but he'd be walking at a very quick pace. Not to escape them, but for another reason. Amru lo tamidav, Rebbe, lehechan ataholech, where are you hurrying? Amar lohem, lasos mitzvah. I'm going to do a mitzvah. Amru lo, v'chima mitzvah zo. What mitzvah are you doing? Amar lohem, lirchotz b'veis hamerchatz. I'm going to the bathhouse, take a bath, clean myself. Amru lo, and here the Gemara says that a person is obligated to bathe every day. Amru lo, v'chizo mitzvah hi. Is this really a mitzvah to clean yourself? I mean, we do it for hygiene. There's a mitzvah involved. Amar lo hen hein. He said yes. Mo me konen shemalachim shemamidino so bevote tartios bevote kirkasios. Here you have these statues of kings that they adorn the theaters and the circuses. Mishin is mana alehem who morkon vishotvan, and they're people who are in charge. They work for the government, and they scrape them of the dust, and they rinse them off. They make sure they're all nice and clean. Vehein man lo mizonos, and people paid money to do this. Vilaod elashum es gadam gadolei malchus. It's considered to be an honorable job. They're one of the retinue of the king. If they clean statues every day. Statues of the king, ani shenivresi b'tzelem uvedmus. I was created in the form and image of Hashem. Dechsiv ki b'tzelem elokim asa adam alachas kama v'kama. How much more so do I have to ensure that I remain a proper, washed, rinsed servant of Hakadosh Baruch Hu? The Sifsei Tzadik says here. What does it mean? It means the guf is the kli of the neshama. The body is the tool, the vehicle of the soul. The body is the vehicle, the instrument that carries the soul through this world. One who doesn't take care of the guf is really disgracing the neshama. The neshama, the tzem elokim, so that has to be housed in a proper facility. That facility is the guf for Adam. Add to that the following. Dover Acher, Gomel Nafsho Ish Chosed, Ze Hillel Hazokain, Shebishosho Yenifta Mitalmidov, Hoyamahalech Vaholech Imam. Again, same beginning. Amrilo Tamidov, Rebbe Lehechanata Olech, where are you going? Apparently he then went to the bathhouse, he went somewhere else. Omar Lohem, Ligmo Chesed im Hodeinach Sinai Begobeso. I'm going to do Chesed with the guests in my home. Omrilo, this happened every day. Every day. They said to him, "Kol yom islach achsanya. every day you have guests in the home waiting for you to feed them? Amar Lohem, he said, yes. V'hodei nafsha alufta lavachsanya hu bego gufa. Isn't the soul that rests in our body, isn't he just a guest in our body? The soul needs to, body needs to be fed, so the soul is also healthy. Yoma deini hacha limchar leisi hacha. One day the soul's with us, the next day not. So therefore, Hillel Zaken said, while the soul is within us, housed in the body, we have to make sure to take care of the body as well. Dover Acher, thirdly, Gomel Nafshu Ish Chesed V'Ocher She'era Achzari. The cruel person is the one who defiles the self. Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Zeshe Magas Lo Simcha V'Eino Madvik Es Krovav Imo Mishum Anios. Isn't this an interesting psychodrama? It's a person who has a simcha, but he doesn't invite his poor relatives. Ashamed of them. Okay? He makes a simcha. He doesn't want to be, doesn't want them, people to know that they're related to him. Doesn't invite them. That is Ocher She'ero Achzari. She'er, of course, means relative too. The cruel person is the one who befouls his relations. Om Rabbi Nachman. Ksiv, Rabbi Nachman said it's written in the Parshas Re'eh, Ki beglal adavar zeh, beglal, on account of this, Erech Hashem, God will bless you. Here's a very famous phrase, Galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. Money is like a revolving wheel in the world. It comes and goes. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. Lefichach Moshe masiris Yisrael, v'chiyah mochachicha. Therefore, Moshe warns us, when your brother is brought low and he falters, v'chazakta bo. Why? Because that could be you also. Do we know this? We know this certainly the last 10 years. That's happened to too many people. Galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. Sometimes you're on top of the Ferris wheel, and other times you're at the bottom, and it just keeps spinning around. That's v'chiyachucha, achicha. What's the galgal? What's in fact the point that Rabbi Alexandri is making? That's a galgal. Defining people by assessing their wealth is very unimpressive of the person who's defining the others, and it's a most lamentable way of judging people, because in fact, money changes, assets change. Values and midos, those really don't change as much. So you define a person by their goodness. Those are better indicators of the reality of the individual rather than how much money they have. Well, are there people who will judge others or befriend others or not befriend others based on how much money they have or don't have? Does that exist? Really? All right, I'll have to go by you. What can I tell you? Status, right. There could be people seek out others of wealth and say, all right, you know, that's the person I want to be friendly with, I want to be associated with. That's a very despicable way to look at others. Galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. In Rabbi Alexandri's case,
time,
what's that?
At the same time, those who have the money and all that, use it.
They should use it, that's right.
They use it for the rights.
That's correct. Okay, next, six. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Limdascha Torah Derech Eretz. Again, it continues the same pasuk. Torah is teaching us the way of the world. Shekshi Yehei Odom Osa Mitzvah, Yehei Osa Osoch Belev Sameach. When a person does a mitzvah, he should do the mitzvah with a full heart. A full heart. Sheilu hoy Reuven yodea shekadosh baruch hu machtiv olav vayishma Reuven vayatzilem yodam. So this is an area we've discussed a number of times. A beautiful medrash, that whatever we do is being watched. Okay, if Reuven had only known that God would write about him, that Reuven heard and saved Yosef, hayatano molicho etzel aviv, he would have brought him back. He would have lifted him on his shoulders and brought him back to his father. Instead, he just saved him from being killed, but left him in the bar. All right? He did a mitzvah, but he did in such a way that he was yotzei, but it didn't really solve the problem. So too, coming up Shavuos in a few weeks, the book of Rus, V'ilu ho yodea Boaz, Shekadosh Baruch Hu machtiv olav, v'yitzbat lo kali, if Boaz had known that God would write about him in the book of Rus, that he fed, he gave a meal to Rus, what does it say? He gave her parched ears of corn to eat, not the most appetizing dish. But if Boaz had known that the menu that he fed Rus when they first met would be recorded for posterity, agalim pitumim hayamachila, he would have fed her fatted calves. He would have looked like a magnanimous, generous individual. Rabbi Cohen, the Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Simon, Beshem Reb Levi, Amru, they said, l'shavar hoya odem ose mitzvah v'hanavi kosva. In the past, a person would do a mitzvah, and the Navi would write it down. V'achshav, now there's no nevuah. Odem ose mitzvah, a person does a mitzvah, mikosva, who writes it down? Eliyahu, u'melech ha-mashiach, v'akadosh baruch hu chosem al yadayim. Elio, the Mashiach, they record it, and God seals it. Kahu dechsiv, oz nidberu yirei Hashem, ish ereyehu, zaftor for Shabbos HaGadol, v'akshev Hashem ha-yishma, v'yikosei v'sefer ha-zikaron. Okay. Who are these, what does this mean, that the, that Elio Navi writes it down, the Melech HaMashiach writes it down, God seals it? What does that mean? It's interesting to think about. What does it mean? So I thought as follows. Eliyahu, of course, lives forever. He never died. So it means Eliyahu records how our deeds affect others in this world, because he has the panorama of all Jews, because Eliyahu lo meis. The Melech HaMashiach, he's come from a different perspective. He's come from the world of redemption, and he's able to record how each individual deed not just benefited others in this world, but plays a role in bringing the Geula closer. That's a different madrega altogether. We could do something for another person, and it has an immediate effect in this world, but also has an effect on Klal Yisrael generally, and on how we are perfecting ourselves as a people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chosmo, God's seal, is how the deed affects a person La'olam Abba, in terms of his ultimate perfection and reward in the next world. Those are three different dimensions here. Tani Rabbi Yeshua, Yoser mi, also a famous phrase, Yoser mi masha bal, also from Gor Shabbos, Yoser masha bal bayis oseim he'oni, he'oni oseim bal bayis. More than the householder, meaning the Ashir, does for the poor does for the Ashir. Shekein Ruso meres l'Naomi, Shemo ish asher asisi imo hayom Boaz, the name of the person who did this kindness for me today is Boaz. Asher asa imi enksivkan, doesn't say did third person, but rather asisi imo, I did with him, I did. Amrala harbe pulos vitovos asisi imo hayom bishvil prusa shenosanli, I did many, many deeds, many kindnesses for him for the small amount of food he gave me, but it means the poor then benefit the wealthy as well. Okay, so the truth is, you know, tzedakah, yeah, it's okay. Tzedakah, we're not going to penalize you, so it's all right. Tzedakah is a very difficult mitzvah. All right, turn back to the first page for a second. Tzedakah is a very difficult mitzvah. You know, we all struggle with it. It's, we all know what it is. In the community, people come, strangers come, they have tudot, they don't have tudot. If they don't have, who knows? They do have, really, who knows for the most part. You hope they're vetted. Amar Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira said, Afilu sichason shel b'nei Eretz Yisrael Torahi. Even the sicha, even the idle conversation of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, you know, today's Yom HaTzmut, even their idle conversation is Torah. Things from which we could learn. Hoketzad. How so? Adam omer l'chavero. Person says to his friend, Zakibi. Do a zchus, meaning give me tzedakah. O rakibi, elevate me. It means zaki garmoch bi. Bring merit to yourself through me. That the recipient of tzedakah should be able to see himself as the means through which we elevate ourselves by helping them, by giving them. It's a hard sell, I confess. It's not always easy. And especially when tzedakah We'll get to cases in a moment, but especially when tzedakah becomes almost a substitute for self-help or work, people make themselves into permanent beneficiaries as a lifestyle. That's not proper. It's all machlokas, whether you have to give to someone who does not want to help himself. Some say yes, based on the Medrash and the theory beyond the Medrash, that we always are benefited when we are beneficent, when we share with others what we have and we don't need. All right? It's always good. The other side says, yeah, it is good, but you could do a mitzvah that really harms a person as well. And if you don't teach someone to help themselves, then it's a very bad cycle in which they're on. Further, Reb Chagai said, Schebi, istakelbi, look into me, all right? Look intelligently from a distance at what has to be done. Schebi, istakelbi, schebi mohavina, look what I've become, vistakelbi ma'ano. And then look even more carefully. Look, I'm sorry, Mahavina, what I was, right? And then look at me now. Domer b'chagai b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak k'siv in Koheles v'avad ha'osher ahu b'inyon ra. So Shlomo has a whole discussion in Koheles. Ra chol aris tachas ha'shamesh osher shamul ba'alav l'ra. So there's such a thing, it's harmful, that a person has wealth that's preserved for him in order to harm him. Velvada osher hu b'inyon ra. That osher will be lost to a person or harm him. Volid ben vein biyado meuma. He'll have a child and be able to give nothing to the child. How does that take place? Sheheshiv la oso ani b'inyon ra. That he answers an ani and then in a way that's too harsh, as unfortunately I would imagine many of us stumble with on occasion. Vamar lo. Guy comes and asks for money. You say to him, "Leis at ozel loe v'noges." Don't you want to go and work and then you'll eat? Yigiach apecha kisachel. You work, you'll eat. So you come to me for money, but you don't have a job. Get a job, you'll eat. Or chame shokyon, chame kroin. Look at your thighs; they're so strong. Look at your legs; they're so strong. Chame karsovon. Look at your stomach, your kares. You're well built. All right, you're not starving. Chame kufron. Look, you're very healthy. You can work. Get a job. Don't look for a handout. Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu lo dayecho. It's not bad enough that you did not give him anything from what you have. Whatever you do give him, even words, you put the evil eye on it. I mean, you made him feel worse. An ani needs not only money, an ani needs to be built up, to be psychologically strengthened. Whatever you had will not be given to your son. Well, from the Medrash, it's quite a charge. How many people have ever been tempted to say to a healthy ani, get a job? Anyone ever been tempted to say that? Yeah, me. All right, I confess. It happens because, again, you know, mendicancy has become a lifestyle for many people. Well, how do we save ourselves from that fate? All right, look at the last page, number 7. Rabbi Abba, B'shem Rabbi Eliezer, Omar, Tzrichin Ono L'Hachzik Tovel Ramain. We have to give thanks for the charlatans among us. L'Hachzik Tovel Ramain Shebohem. We have to give thanks for the charlatans amongst those who ask for tzedakah. She'ilulei HaRamain Shebohem. If not for the charlatans, kevan shoy echad mehem tove bidei adam umachziro miyad nena shlemisa. Because if one would claim something from another and not get it, the non-giver, the non-benefactor, would be liable to death. So Rabbi Abba said, it's quoting the Gemara Ksuvos here, We should give thanks for the charlatans, the deceivers, the fakers, the ones who don't need tzedakah and seek it, and we turn them down. Because then we're able to say that if we turned on someone who's really deserving, we made a mistake, we thought he was a charlatan. Is there mitzvah to give a charlatan? Most hold not, because it's not really tzedakah. Okay? Here's a story. Shem v'kor lech Hashem, Arzioni will call out to God and you'll be punished. Uchsiv, hanev shachateis hisamos. Rabbi, here's a story. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, nechatin lemischei ba'dein de mosin de Tveria. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, they went to bathe, right? In the bathhouse in Tveria. What's the bathhouse near Tveria? Chamat Gader, hot springs. All right, let's just say they were in the Kinneret. Poga b'hon chad miskein. A certain unfortunate came to ask them for money. Omar lon zakun bi. He said, do a zchus through me, give me money. Amrule, kinofkun anan zachyon. Boch. When we get out of the water, so we'll give you something. Nafkin, they came out. Vashkechune mois. They found that he was dead. Died. Amrin, they said. Hoel v'loi taplun bebechayov nitapul bebemoso. That's Meis Mitzvah. Since we didn't take care of him while he was alive, oh, these are great people, by the way, Yochanan Rish Lakish. Since we didn't take care of him when he was alive, we have to take care of him now that he's dead. What do you have to do? Tahara. Bury him. Ad inun maschenle, they started preparing his body for the Tahara. Ashkechen chada kisa. They took out of his garment, he had a purse with 600 golden coins in it. Alright? Meaning, he's a rabbi, he's a charlatan. He's very wealthy, but I guess he starved to death, but there is a sickness. The people, I've read about it, they starve to death having thousands of dollars in a mattress. They just can't bring themselves to spend any money. Amru, so Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish said, Baruch Shabachar b'chachamim uvidivrehem. Blessed is the one who chose the chachamim and their words. Lochein amar Rabbi Abo, b'shem Rabbi Eliezer, tzrichen anu lahachzik tova l'ramam. Did not Rabbi Abo say, we have to give thanks for the charlatans, otherwise we'd always be guilty. You see, and we are especially challenged with this in our generation, I'm no different than anyone else, tzedakah has become for men, look, some people are just good-hearted, they'll give everyone, all right, which has its merits, has demerits also. I know some people have a philosophy, everyone comes to the door, they're just giving the same amount, and that's it, they yotzei. But that's also not right. The famous comment of the Gra, the Pasuk in Re'eh, which discusses the mitzvah of tzedakah, lo sikpots es yadcha, me'achicha ha'avyon, you can't close your hand to your brother the poor. What does it mean, close your hand? So look at a hand. If you open your hand, all the fingers are a different size. If you close your hand, all the fingers are the same size. Lo tikpots es yadcha. You can't treat every ani the same. Some need more, some need less. You have to open your hand and see what each one needs. So you solve one problem, it's giving everybody a couple of dollars, but you enter into another problem, baltikpots. You can't treat everybody the same. Conversely, to not give some, right, which really you can do if a guy is seems like a charlatan, and you have to be doish v'choker, you could investigate where they are, to not give some, so that's Rabbi Abo's dictum, invariably will run into the problem of not giving to some who were deserving, because we did not give to those who were not deserving. Is there an easy answer to this? No. And we suffer from it. I guess the general klal that comes all of it, because of Galgal Husha Chozer Bolam, it's always better to err on the side of kindness than the side of lack of kindness. But of course, that's easier said than done, notwithstanding that, of course, we are Rachmanim by Shonim and Gomel Chasodim. One of the traits that define the Jewish people are people of kindness. It's always been like that. It always will be like that. So imagine, notwithstanding the Ramoim, will continue to our great zchus to err on the side of kindness. Okay, I thank you all very much.